Hey everyone, I just want to make a quick little correction before this week's episode starts. At the very top of the episode, you're going to hear me say that the show we're talking about took place on May 11th, 2020. Obviously, that is not the case. The show we're talking about took place on May 11th, 2007 and is being released on May 11th, 2020. So, now that we've gotten that little correction taken care of, I just want to thank you guys for listening and please enjoy this week's episode. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Road to Revolution podcast, My Journey with Linkin Park. I am your host, Billy Arciello, and on today's episode, we are going to be talking about the 18th Linkin Park show I ever went to, which was on May 11th, 2020, which if you're listening on release day, you'll notice, hey, that is today, just 13 years ago, which is kind of a cool little cute thing I did not plan until I was doing the outline for this episode. So that's a fun little coincidence. But yeah, it was May 11th, 2007 at the Webster Hall in New York City. It was a free show. And I believe it was the smallest venue I'd ever seen Linkin Park in up until that point and then after. I think it was like 1,500 people and it was sold out. It was a free show. And they gave out tickets on the radio and at Verizon stores around around New York City. And naturally, you'll see a pattern here. I attended this one with Sal, who would become my Linkin Park hetero life mate. We would go to a ton of these shows together. I don't think there were many, actually, up until I get into the Florida shows. Eventually, I moved to Florida, which you'll see eventually because you'll notice the show locations start to change. But once I moved to Florida, I is when I really started going to shows without him. Linkin Park shows, at least. But when I lived in New York, I don't think I went to any Linkin Park shows from this point until I moved without him. It was always me and Sal at these shows, which was a lot of fun because it's fun to go to a show with somebody who loves the band just as much as you do. And we got along super great because of that and on a million other things too. Like we were very, very similar personalities. And I still talk to him to this day. He's an amazing dude. Yeah, this is a free show, smallest venue I'd ever see him at, about 1,500 people. I think the second smallest was the Best Buy Theater in New York, which is a show we'll talk about later on. That was in 2010, which I believe now is the PlayStation Theater. But that's not the show we're talking about today. This was actually recorded to be live streamed, not live streamed, but played in theaters. Called AOL Music Presents Linkin Park in Concert. And it was played, I want to say, in movie theaters with like Fathom Events, like they do those special concerts and you know, one night only movie screenings and stuff like that. And then I think AOL also streamed this online. Now that I don't remember if that was live on Friday night and then they played it in theaters on Monday night or if they were both on Monday night. I don't remember the order of that, but the theaters was definitely Monday night. I think it was the night before Minutes to Midnight came out, which I think sounds about right. But yeah, let's talk about the show itself. Now I was the first person in line for this show. I got there stupid early. I want to say it was like 9 or 10 in the morning. And to no one's surprise, but mine somehow, there was no one else there. Nobody in line yet. There were people loading into the venue, but there was no one going to the show in line yet. So I'm in there for a good chunk of the day by myself. It's not till a couple hours in that other people join the line. And about halfway through my waiting period, security comes up to me and asks, well, first I'm like, oh God, are they going to tell me the line isn't here? There's a bigger line around the corner and I just wasted my whole day. But no, security was cool. It was actually Linkin Park's security. It wasn't venue security. But their security comes up to me and asks me if I wanted to help run the meet and greet for tonight's show. And I don't know why he asked me. I don't know if he recognized me because I had seen him before from all the other shows. The summer shows and seen them so much. So I don't know if he recognized me or anything like that. But, you know, I was the first person in line and he asked me if I wanted to help run the meet and greet, you know, just basically checking people in off of a list and giving them their pass. And he said, you know, in exchange for helping us out with that, I'll give you a pass to the meet and greet. And I said, okay, great. and it was a lot of fun. You know, it's kind of cool to have a role at this show other than just being a fan for a little bit, you know, kind of helping out run the meet and greet. Was pretty nice. And you know, might have slid a meet and greet pass to Sal and one of his other buddies from Staten Island. You know, gotta help out the friends when you can. But we get, so finally I had a meet and greet pass for myself. So we get into the meet and greet, which was just before the doors opened. So we were able to go and meet the band and still get back in line to get our spot in the venue, which was pretty cool. Most meet and greets would take place after the show would open, and you wouldn't be able to, you know, keep your place in line. So we kind of fought with ourselves on that. Like, do we go the meet and greet? Especially because we hadn't, Sal had met them earlier in the week, but I hadn't met them in a couple of years. Or do we go and just get be in the front again, which, you know, we didn't do the other day. But luckily security said, no, the meet and greet's going to happen. And then you can go back into the line, and the people we were with in the line were cool that they were like, hey, just come back when the meet and greet's over. So it worked out really well. I was not prepared in any way, shape or form for the meet and greet because I didn't have a meet and greet pass to begin with. So, the only thing I had on me was, I had nothing Linkin Park on me, except for my ticket. But, for some reason I didn't get that one signed. I got them to sign my hat, which is, you know, a lot of people do, but it wasn't even a Linkin Park hat. It was a hat from the movie Clerks 2 of the Movies restaurant. Like, it was a yellow visor because for some reason in 2007, visors were a thing that I wore. And I still have it to this day. It is beat to hell and dirty and faded, but the signatures are still there and I still have it. And this show was a lot of fun. So it was a similar set list to the Metal End show from a few days earlier. But they added a few new songs. Specifically, they added Bleed It Out for the first time. They never played it before, which most of the crowd had heard it already. The album wasn't out yet, but most of the crowd had heard it via the internet because I think it had leaked at this point. So people were stoked to hear that one because that's a really, really fun live song. But they played the other songs they'd already played from this album. Like, they played No More Sorrow and Given Up. And then Bleed It Out was the new, the additional new song. They also played What I've Done from this album. Now, cool thing was, as I mentioned before, they played this show in theaters the Monday, the night before the album came out. So I had grabbed tickets with some friends to see it at the Regal in Union Square. And I guess some people who went to that screening didn't realize it wasn't live. They thought it was, they thought it was live from the venue to the theater. So, for some reason I decided to wear the hat. As I said, the visors were a thing I wore, not just because I got it signed by the band, but because I thought they were a good fashion choice, which they definitely were not. But I was wearing the same yellow visor that I was wearing at the show. So after the screening of the concert was over, people, in the theater were like, hey, were you in the crowd at the show? There's a guy in the front row. I was like, yeah, I was. It was like, oh, I thought it was live. I was like, no, it was a couple of days ago. It was just a couple of blocks away. Which is cool to see it at a theater that was just a couple blocks. I think Webster Hall is on like 10th Street or 11th Street. And then Webster Hall is on 13th. I'm sorry, the movie theater's on 13th. But that was cool to see that in theaters. That's a fun show. I actually rewatched part of that show recently because since AOL streamed it, that video was put up online and, you know, you'd always find it pretty easily between YouTube and other Linkin Park sites and stuff like that. That show was a lot of fun. You forget how great that, you know, they were in small venues because after this point, they really didn't do small venues anymore. You know, it was stadiums and arenas. And if they ever did smaller venues, there were small one-offs like this, or, and they love New York for that. Cause you know, I mentioned the Best Buy theater show, when they came back in 2010, that was another small one. And that was just for the release show for, 1,000 Suns. But yeah, other than that, it was all big stadiums, arenas, amphitheaters, stuff like that. So, being able to see them at these small shows really shows how great they were in those smaller venues. That's it for this show. The next one we'll talk about next week is, I'm gonna do a double episode, next week, just cause they're, same tour, and not enough to fill a, you know, one episode each. So we're going to talk about the Holmdel, New Jersey, and Jones Beach stops on Product Revolution in 2007, which Linkin Park co-headlined with Taking Back Sunday and My Chemical Romance, which will be a lot of fun to talk about. Those shows were great. I wish I got to go to more of them, but we'll talk more about that when I record those episodes. But for now, that is it. I thank you so much for listening. This has been My Road to Revolution, and thank you so much.